heard it.
Copy that loud and clear.
Charles, loud and clear.
Fine, that'll be about the level that the, we hope the John will come through at it.
Okay, that'll be great. No worries, Tony. I guess you're all set at your end with probably about 9.5 minutes to rise time.
Mm-hmm.
We're set. Lovely. Rick, you're all set at this point.
One can hope.
Make some more painkillers with the coffee. Tony, you're all set down under.
Yes, David, when I establish contact with John, I'll say a few brief words to him, and then I'll finish off by saying I have Iroquois school online, and Ashley, would you ask the first question, please? That'll be the cue for Ashley just to come up straight and say, my name's Ashley, is it hard, move so-and-so. So that's basically what will happen.
Hand over.
At the end of the course,
and
John will do the same thing.
That sounds great. And Ashley's from Australia, so that'll work just fine. It'd be a nice segue from you to Ashley.
Oh, that's great. What part of Australia?
What part of Australia, Ashley? Sydney.
All right.
Little town.
Yes, not quite as small as ours, though.
And John Nichol, anything?
The word over.
No, looks like you're reading everything out of control well. Thank you.
Okay. And we'll start the script in about another minute and a half or so. Nice having everybody in internet land listening in and all set up right at the beginning, so I don't have to worry about getting the lines open and things like that. My sympathies to all of you out there having to listen to my blatherings while we do all the setup stuff. Thanks for your patience. Okay, thanks, Tony. Yeah, I'm still running about 15 seconds faster than you guys, but you're the person who's important at this point.
Right.
So, Mr. Crandall, welcome to the space program. You're now in the hurry up and wait portion of the space program.
Okay.
This is just like real life, where you do all the preparation and train, and then you get down to the point where you just have to sit and wait.
We're good at that.
Excellent. Very good. Okay, I think we're coming up on 6 minutes here. So, hello everyone. This is Will Marchant, KC6ROL, from the Space Sciences Laboratory at the University of California, Berkeley. And through the help of amateur radio volunteers, the crew on the ISS and MCI, we hope to soon establish radio contact with the International Space Station that lies more than 200 miles above the Earth over Australia. This is all accomplished with ERIC, amateur radio on the International Space Station. And the ISS currently is flying over the Indian Ocean, whizzing along at around 17,500 miles an hour. Network, a worldwide network of amateur radio ground stations that enable students to contact the ISS. ERIS is a consortium of volunteers from 9 nations that develop and operate the amateur radio station on board the International Space Station. The stateside members of ERIS are the American Radio Relay League, the Radio Amateur Satellite Corporation, and NASA. And the amateur radio ground station that will establish contact with the ISS today is VK5ZAI at Kingston, South Australia, and it's operated by Tony Hutchison. And thanks for helping us out, Tony.
Yeah, fine, Will. It's a pleasure.
And we're communicating through a worldwide communications network provided courtesy of MCI, and our operator for today is Lori, and we thank her. And we're just about 4 minutes or so until contact time. Now, our school for today is Iroquois Middle School in Niskayuna, New York, and we'll just check in briefly with the students. I'm going to ask Principal David Crandall to please tell us just a little bit about the students in the school that are taking part today.
Thank you very much. We have 12 seventh grade science students. Flight engineer Phillip's nephew, Paul, is a student here, and these are 12 of his classmates who have been learning a little bit about the space mission and have put together a series of questions for today.
Lovely. Thank you, Mr. Crandall. Is everyone all excited and all prepared for the event?
I think so.
Great. Do you happen to have any amateur radio operators there in your school?
We don't have a program. I don't know if there's any individuals that are involved in it. I suspect that there probably are, but we don't have an organization here at school.
Mm-hmm. Some of the organizations, some schools will set up their own amateur radio stations or have a local club come in and set up equipment. But we also have a lot of schools who utilize the Telebridge network because primarily it gives a lot of flexibility in scheduling times for the crew member. It's always an honor and a privilege for us to get their time like this. So, Tony, we've worked with you and your station on numerous school contacts. Before the contact begins, can you please tell us a little bit about your station, where you are, and how you'll handle the conversation, please?
Yes, Will and David. I'm located in a small seaside town of Kingston, South Australia. It's the southeast of South Australia. It's only a population of around 1,500 people. Industry around here in the rural side is sheep and cattle and wheat farming. And we also have a very big rock lobster fishing industry. And in recent times, they've gone into vineyards and grape growing. The equipment I'm using here is a tracking antenna, computerized, and using the ASU FT-736 transceiver for the actual contact this morning.
Okay, thank you, Tony. Are you expecting that with this approach and departure of the International Space Station, do we expect the contact to start right at rise time and run continuously through the end time?
Yes, we have a very clear horizon line here, and in fact it'll come in over the sea from where we are. The site here is only 300 meters from the sea, and in about 1 3/4 minutes we should hear John. The space station is just coming over the Exmouth Gulf now, officially right over the complex mouth.
Lovely, sounds good. We're expecting a contact of a little over 10 minutes today, I believe. Is that correct, Tony?
That is correct, yes, Will.
Okay, sounds good. Well, I want this as an experiment, but we can never tell the results, positive or negative, until the experiment is over. We have been having very good school contacts with John, and so we expect we're pretty optimistic. But I did just want to remind everyone, and I want to remind the students to remember to say the word over when they're done asking their question, and then to wait at the microphone until John starts answering your question. So in just about a minute or so, we expect the station to be coming over Tony's station in South Australia. So Tony, I'm going to go ahead and hand the teleconference over to you and wish everybody good luck for the contact.
Thanks, Will. As I said, I'll start calling in about half a minute, and I'll have a brief word to John on board the space station, and then I'll ask Ashley straight off ask his first question, and he'll be followed by the other students. All right, we've got 20 seconds to go. I'll start calling now, and we'll get contact first. Calling in A1SS, NA1SS, DK5, Zulu, Alpha, India. Do you copy, John? Over.
QO5, Zulu, Alpha, India. I heard the last part of what you said. This is November Alpha 1, Sierra, Sierra.
So, you are just starting to come over the horizon now. First, John, I would just like to thank you for the note and the photo from Albany Hills School was very much appreciated. We have Iroquois School in New York online at the moment, and I'll just put it back to see if you copy okay now, and if you do, I'll put it over to them. How copy?
Yeah, thank you.
It's
very clear. I'm ready to talk.
Hi, John. Ashley, would you ask your first question, please?
Hello, my name is Ashley Colford, and my question was, is it hard to transition to no gravity and other lifestyles? Over.
Okay, Ashley, I'll answer your question in just a second, but before that, I just wanted to greet all the boys and girls in Iroquois Middle School, and in particular, my nephew, Paul Manning, and I believe his sister, Julie, is there, too. So it's really good to talk to you. And your question, Ashley, about transitioning to no gravity. Well, some people have a hard time switching to weightlessness. For me, in a physical sense, it seems very comfortable from the start. I don't feel any physical discomfort. But you have to get used to the fact that you have to tie everything down or else we'll float away, and that takes some getting used to. Over.
Hello, my name is Kayla, and my question is, what is the major goal of floating up in space? Over.
Well, Kayla, while we're up here, we're in free fall, we're in orbit around the Earth, and we're here so that we can carry out experiments that would be impossible on Earth, because while you're on Earth, fluids tend to settle and things tend to fall. Well, that doesn't happen up here. So we can do unique experiments with physical materials. And also we're preparing the skills and equipment to go on further into the solar system, hopefully to Mars within our lifetimes. Over.
Hi, my name is Jessica, and my question was, is it sad that you have to be away from your family for a long time? Over.
Well, Jessica, it is sad. I have a wife and a teenage son and daughter. But they understand that this is my job and my career, and they support me completely. And for me, this is a lot like when I used to be in the Navy, and we would go off on ships for 9 months at a time. So this is not a whole lot different than some of the men and women who serve in the armed forces. Over.
If you are sleeping, do the bed float, and is it hard to sleep? Over.
Yes, I sleep inside a sleeping bag, not a bed. I tie the foot of the bag to the floor, and then I just float inside it. It's very, very comfortable. I think it's more comfortable than it is on Earth. And I think when I get back on Earth, I'm going to have a hard time going to sleep. But here I sleep great. Over.
Hi, this is Paul. And my question is, what types of experiments are you collecting in space? Over.
Hi, Paul. Good to talk to you. Well, we're doing a lot of experiments in which we are the human guinea pigs to see how our bodies react to being in space. We also observe the Earth. And we do engineering and materials research to see how materials behave in the conditions that we can create only here in orbit. Over.
Hi, it's Jeremy, and I was just wondering, how long do you have to train to go into space? Over.
Well, Jeremy, you could say I've been training almost all my life, it seems like, starting with school. But I trained for this particular flight for about 4 years. Well, the training really started with school and then university and then working in the Navy and then working in my science career, and then I finally became an astronaut. Over.
Hi, my name is Corey. How does the robotic arm function with zero gravity? Over.
Well, Corey, hopefully your science teacher will thank me for this because I want to correct something. There is gravity. That's what holds us in orbit. So let's not use the term zero gravity. A lot of people use it, but it's not really right. Well, the robot arm has to be very flexible, but it doesn't have to be really strong. It's not like a crane because it doesn't have to lift heavy weights because we're all just floating together here in orbit. So the force it needs to move objects is relatively small, but it has to be very carefully controlled. Over.
How do you get oxygen if there's no oxygen in outer space? Over.
Well, Kenny, we bring oxygen up from the ground in three ways. We bring it up as compressed oxygen in tanks, and that's, we have a Russian supply vehicle docked with us right now that provides us that oxygen. Then we bring up liquid water, which we separate into hydrogen and oxygen by running an electric current through it. And also when the shuttle is flying, it brings us up oxygen in the form of super cool liquid oxygen. Over.
Hi, I'm Ryan Newney, and my question is, what part do you play in the mission? Over.
Well, Ryan, my title at NASA is Mission Specialist, but that's not really very accurate right now because there are only two of us on board. So we both have to be able to do almost everything. We operate the station, we repair it, we're qualified to do spacewalks and to do scientific experiments. So my crew commander, Sergei Krikalov, and I really have to do everything up here. Over.
Hi, this is Steven Stamboli. My question was, what kind of food do you eat up in space? Over.
Well, for the first couple of weeks in orbit, we still have some fresh food, but that's run out now. So mostly we eat food that's either in cans or it's dried and we have to add water to it. Unfortunately, we have no refrigerator to keep food cold, and contrary to what you may have heard, there is no ice cream in space. Over.
Hi, my name is Vaughn Jackson, and I was wondering, is it true that there's plans to settle on Mars? Over.
I'd say we have a goal, not a detailed plan, but a goal to send some people to Mars for a short flight. But we don't really have any details on exactly how we're going to do it, how long the mission will last, and what kind of rocket it will be. And the idea of actually settling on Mars for a long-term stay, that's a long, long time away, in my opinion. Over.
Mission up on the space station. Over.
Well, our mission is to carry out science experiments and to extend the human presence in space, with the idea of eventually building a settlement on the moon, and then a mission to Mars, hopefully within the next 20 or 30 years. Over.
Hi, this is Ashley again. I heard that the Great Barrier Reef is the only living thing on Earth that you can see from space. Is this true? Over.
Yeah, my crewmate and I were talking about that last night. I'm not sure if that's true or not. We can definitely see the Great Barrier Reef, but we can also see other smaller reefs. And I know that there are kinds of trees like aspens that are joined by roots underground, so you can think of an aspen grove or a forest as a single living thing too, just like a reef, and we can certainly see forests. So I'm not sure the right answer to that question, but we can definitely see the barrier reefs and smaller reefs as well. Over.
Hi, this is Sheila again. My question was regarding the spacewalks and all the training that goes into being a professional. What about the basic procedures for common mistakes made up in space? Over.
Well, for spacewalks, the very most important thing is to stay tied to the station. We use a system of straps to keep us tied to the station, so if we let go, we don't float away. Although we also have a rocket pack we can use for emergencies. And we have to make sure that we don't let any of our tools go. And then we also have to pay very, very careful attention to our procedures. Over.
What is it like to have everything floating around? Over.
Hello again, Jessica. Well, you know, sometimes it's fun, and sometimes it's kind of a nuisance. If you open a bag full of small objects, they'll all float around. So we have to be very careful. On the other hand, if we have to move something heavy, then the fact that we're all floating is an advantage. I can move something the size of a refrigerator without much effort. Over.
Hi, this is Luke again, and my question is, have you ever walked outside of the space station? And if you did, is it hard? Over.
Luke, I have not myself done a spacewalk, but my crewmate has done many. And it is hard work. We train very hard for it. We train underwater, and it's pretty strenuous. We are scheduled to go outside twice on this flight, once in an American suit from the American airlock, and once in a Russian suit from the Russian airlock. Over.
Hi, Uncle John, it's Paul again. And my second question is, if something goes wrong, do you have an escape plan? And if you do, what is it? Over.
Hi, Paul. Good to talk to you again. Yes, we do have an escape plan. We flew up from Central Asia 1 month ago in a Russian spacecraft called the Fuse. And that spacecraft is also our lifeboat. So we have it ready to go at any given time. And if, for example, we had a fire or a big leak on board the space station, we would all go to Sergei and I would go to the Soyuz, and then we'd figure it out from there. We might have to come home or we might stay. Over.
Hi, this is Corey. What type of computer and camera do you use in space? Over.
Lots of laptops on board. I don't know the exact number, but it might be like 30. And some of them are kind of old, like 5 or 6 years old, and some of them are quite new.
Okay, Iroquois School, why don't you do a big thank you, and we'll get Tony to hold open the mic for John.
Thank you!
Great, thank you. I'm not sure if you caught me or not, but all the best there, and thank you again. Speak K5 today, anyway.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we've shared a moment of history. Amateur radio station VK5ZAI in Australia, operated by Tony Hutchison, contacted astronaut John Phillips, KE5DRY, aboard the International Space Station, talking with students at the Iroquois Middle School. MCI donated telecommunications facilities so that we could share this occasion, and Lori was our operator for today. And now for the international volunteer team of ARIS, including the Radio Amateur Satellite Corporation, the American Radio Relay League, and NASA. This is Will Merchant, amateur radio operator K6ROL, sending my greetings to all of you in amateur radio terms. That's 73, which means best wishes. And I hope all of you had a great day. Tony, excellent contact. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Will. I didn't time it, but it went from horizon to horizon, so it was very good. And congratulate the students of Iroquois. They did a magnificent job, and I work out now why the Great Barrier Reef came into it, seeing Ashley is from Australia.
Sounds good. Okay, Iroquois Middle School, you folks all did an excellent job, and I hope you had a good time. You need to celebrate.
Well, thank you very much. We appreciate the opportunity.
Oh, good job. Any issues before we go?
Not at all. Just congratulations to the school, and Tony, thanks for your help, and Will, for yours. Excellent job.
Lovely, and thanks to Wayne Harrisimovich with the IRLP link and with Dieter Sleeman at Echo Link for making the contact available on the Internet. Lori, I was going to ask how many listen-only lines we had tied in today, if you know.
We have five.
Oh, that's lovely. Thank you very much. And unless I hear anything else, I think we can wrap the link up for today.